Test.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. Today's prayer will be offered by Representative Ford. Members and visitors in the gallery are asked to stand and also to remain standing during the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together. We pray that you'll guide and direct us as we make thoughts and decisions in this place. We pray that you'll bless our families at home. Give us all safe traveling mercies today or tomorrow. And we pray that you'll bless our staff. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Pray that you'll guide and direct everyone in Washington and help them to do the right thing. We pray, Father, for our troops protecting our freedoms around the world. Please keep them safe, Lord. We thank you so much for all you do, for your grace, mercy, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for February 4th has been examined and found to be correct. I move it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves that the journal for February 4th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly or the House, the clerk will read.
Dear Representative Torbett, pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143B-350, I am pleased to appoint the following individuals to the North Carolina Board of Transportation for review by the North Carolina General Assembly's Joint Legislative Transportation Oversight Committee. Mr. Hugh R. Overholt of Craven County, 2nd Transportation Division. Ms. Sandra G. Fountain of Onslow County, 3rd Transportation Division. Mr. Augustus H. Tullis of Nash County, 4th Transportation Division. Mr. H. Terry Hutchins of Cumberland County, 6th Transportation Division. Mr. Patrick D. Malamphy of Moore County, 8th Transportation Division. Ms. Tracy F. Dobson of Mecklenburg County, 10th Transportation Division. Mr. Walter J. Dedman, Jr. of Jackson County, 14th Transportation Division. Mr. Andrew M. Perkins, Jr. of Forsyth County, at-large member representing Urban Mass Transit. Enclosed are the biographical information and disclosure statements on the above appointees. Please feel free to call my staff for any additional information. Sincerely, Pat McCrory, Governor.
Document will be on file with the House Principal Clerk's Office. Members, a couple of recognitions the Chair would like to make. First off, on the motion of Representative Lewis of Harnett County, the Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Bill Morris, who is Chairman of the Harnett County Board of Education, and the Police Chief of Irwin, and his wife, Gina Morris, who is the chemistry teacher at Triton High School in Dunn. If you all would please stand so that we can welcome you. Thank you for being here. Members, we're also honored to have a school group visiting with us today. You can see on both sides of the gallery, these are students from Salem Elementary School in Apex. We're glad to have you all here today. Welcome. Members, the nurse of the day is Marcy Shipwash from High Point, North Carolina. Ms. Shipwash, if you'd stand, we thank you for being with us today. The lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, is recognized for a point of personal privilege. Chair would ask the House to please come to order. The lady has the floor for a moment of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, members of the House. As a survivor of sudden cardiac death, I ask all of you to join me today in recognizing the importance of the ongoing fight against heart disease and stroke, and designating, as we have nationally with the American Heart Association, Friday, February 6th, as National Wear Red Day. And just a few comments that I would like to make to you and statistics to let you know how important this fight is, not only for women, but for the men in this chamber and in our state. But today my comments are about women. In 2003, the American Heart Association and the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute took action against this disease that was claiming the lives of nearly 500,000 American women each year, a disease that women were not paying attention to. Stemming from that action, National Wear Red Day was born. It's always held on the first Friday in February every year to raise awareness of heart disease being the number one killer of women. Tomorrow marks the 12th anniversary of National Wear Red Day. Since that recognition started, nearly 90% of the women in the country have made at least one healthy change towards their heart. More than one-third have lost weight. More than 50% of women have increased their exercise. 6 out of 10 women have changed their diets. More than 40% of women have checked cholesterol levels. And one-third are going to their doctors. Pretty empowering, isn't it? 8,286 women have died from heart disease in North Carolina since 2013. We're just at the beginning of 2015. That's 20%, or 1 in 5 deaths among women. 2,635 women have died from stroke in North Carolina alone since 2013. Overall, 11,000 women have died from cardiovascular disease in North Carolina in 2013. That's over 1 out of every 4 deaths among women. So, I'm asking you today to stand with me. It's time for us to get stronger, and I'm not speaking to just the women in this chamber and the women in the gallery, but all the women that are listening. But I'm speaking to the men about the women in your lives and about your health and your heart. Get your numbers checked. So ask your doctor to check your blood pressure and cholesterol. You can do that in the Walgreens, the Rite Aids, and the CVS's, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but they all have those little benches you can go in and check your blood pressure. Own your lifestyle and stop smoking. Lose weight, exercise, and get healthy. Raise your voice, and I'm asking you to do that today by wearing red tomorrow. Advocate for more women-related research and education. Educate your families and yourselves. Don't be silent. Tell every woman you know that heart disease is the number one killer. Raise your voice with me today and help us all to recognize tomorrow as the kickoff for the month of February and its Go Red Day. I will tell you that with my journey over the last 6 years, I have gone through a lifestyle change myself. The most important thing, though, for me, the journey I've been on, is to recognize how blessed we all are to just even be standing here today in this chamber, all of us, and the power we have among ourselves collectively to raise this awareness issue. It is huge, and I don't know that I paid attention to it until 6 years ago, I'm being brutally honest. But I'll tell you, if any of you know me, I will tell you to put down your salt shakers. You all know that. Get rid of the sodium in your diet. Cut it back as much as you can. But exercise, an important part is leave the stress behind. When you feel your shoulders becoming very heavy, that's not just a feeling. That's a sign that your body is saying, your heart is saying, you're doing too much. Go to your office, sit down. Walk over there to the Capitol grounds and sit on that park and look at a fountain. It's a lot you can do to relieve stress. So I ask you again, please join with me, and thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to our Rules Chair, Representative Lewis, for allowing me today to take a little extra moment on this point of personal privilege. Thank you.
Introductions of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
House Bill 43, Representatives Conrad, Lambert, Haynes, and Terry, Winston-Salem parking meters.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Local Government.
House Bill 44, Representatives Conrad, Lambert, Haynes, and Terry, Cities Govern Overgrown Vegetation Notice.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Local Government. If favorable, regulatory reform.
House Bill 45, Representatives Sane, Horn, and Glazier, Child Advocacy Center Funds.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Appropriations.
House Bill 46, Representative Caitlin, Senior Tax Deduction for Medical Expenses.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Finance.
House Bill 47, Representatives Brody and Horn, Youth Career Connects.
Strike the initial referral. Bill is referred to the Committee on Aging, if favorable, finance. House Bill 47, the clerk just read. The bill is referred to the Committee on Education, Community Colleges.
House Joint Resolution 48, Representatives Jones, Millis, Rydell, and Pendleton, Amendments Approval Convention of States.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Judiciary 1.
House Bill 49, Representatives Jeter, Howard, Michaud, and Tyne, Independent Redistricting Commission.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Elections. If favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 50, Representatives McNeil, Hurley, Bishop, and Stamm, amend mandatory retirement age, judges, and magistrates.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Pensions and Retirements.
House Bill 51, Representatives Pittman, Speciale, and Ford, Justice for Rural Citizens Act.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Local Government. If favorable, finance. Calendar. House Bill 3, the clerk will read.
House Bill 3 by Representatives McGrady, Stamm, Lewis, and Goodman, an act to amend the North Carolina Constitution to prohibit condemnation of private property except for public use, to provide for the payment of just compensation with right of trial by jury in all condemnation cases, and to make similar statutory changes.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Henderson? For what purpose does the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, House Bill 3 proposes a constitutional amendment to the North Carolina Constitution to prohibit the condemnation of private property except for a public use, requires the payment of just compensation for property taken, and requires the compensation to be determined by jury trial if requested by any party. The bill also includes some statutory changes consistent with the constitutional amendment, and Speaker Pro Tem, Representative Stamm, will be addressing those when he speaks on the bill. For many of us, this bill probably seems very familiar. The reason for that is that a nearly identical bill passed 110-8 in 2013, and identical provisions were included in an omnibus bill, Senate Bill 636, last year, that passed 103-10. So this bill has been before us before in essentially the same form we see it today. And it comes to the floor upon a unanimous vote of the Judiciary 2 Committee. And I'd say that suggests that the bill has had rather consistent and broad bipartisan support. Section 1 of the bill is the heart of the bill. It provides for the constitutional amendment, and I'll explain the details of that in a moment. Section 2 provides the amendment shall be submitted to the voters in the next statewide election on May 3rd of 2016. That's in the primaries. And Section 3 explains how the amendment becomes effective upon certification by the Secretary of the State. Sections 4 and 5 are the statutory provisions, which Representative Stam will be discussing, and Section 6 provides the effective date. Now, this bill relates to eminent domain. In other words, the forced sale of land to the government. Most basically, the proposed constitutional amendment says that private property shall not be taken by eminent domain except for a public use. So what is a public use? Obviously, roads, schools, sewers, courthouses, and it's also public utilities acquisition of rights of way, even though they are owned by a private entity, because a utility is, by definition, something to which the public has a right to obtain service upon payment of fee. Now, the concept of public use, that sounds simple. So the question is, why do we need a constitutional amendment? Well, aside from the public use test, there are two other tests or phrases sometimes used when deciding whether a government can use the power of eminent domain. Sometimes courts have talked in terms of public purpose or public benefit. And with time, the test, frankly, has gotten rather fuzzy or has morphed. This became really clear when the U.S. Supreme Court decided a case out of Connecticut, the so-called Kelo case. Surprisingly, in its very unpopular decision, the U.S. Supreme Court said that a public purpose was sufficient under the U.S. Constitution so that a Connecticut town could force the sale of property by one private landowner to the town, which in turn sold the property to another private landowner, in that case a developer. Fortunately, in Kelo, the Supreme Court said that the states were free to restrict eminent domain more than that under their constitutions, and that is precisely what we are trying to do with this bill. We are trying to clearly establish a constitutional standard under the North Carolina Constitution. Now, I would tell you that I really don't view this standard as any different than what our current law is. We're not trying to make new law here. We're just trying to make sure that North Carolina's law stays what it is and doesn't sort of morph back to a lower standard that has been established by the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, I guess we could debate the difference between public use and public benefit or public purpose, but I don't think that is critical for you in thinking about this bill. What is critical for you to understand is just that what this bill would do, assuming North Carolina voters approve the proposed amendment. First, as already suggested, the bill will mean that a public use does not include the taking of property in order to convey an interest in that property for economic development. The use of eminent domain, as approved in Kelo, will not be possible in North Carolina if we pass the bill and the voters approve this constitutional amendment. Second, it puts language in our Constitution specifically saying, quote, just compensation shall be paid. While these five words have been determined by the North Carolina Supreme Court to have been implicit in our law of the land clause, which I'm guessing dates back to the Magna Carta, we are one of the only states that doesn't actually have that in our Constitution. Third, we are the only state that does not require in its Constitution that the issue of damages and condemnation cases be decided by a jury. The sponsors of the legislation believe that a jury trial in eminent domain cases is so fundamental that it should be spelled out in our Constitution. And 49 other states do that. So I recommend the bill to you. Obviously, it is a bill that has had broad support in the House. I don't think it changes our law based on the case law that is out there. It does fix some language in statutes and in court opinions that, as we saw in the Kelo case, can sort of move in a direction other than where North Carolina has been. And so I ask your support for the bill.
For what purpose does a gentleman from Wake, Representative Stamm, arise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I'll address the statutory changes in just a moment. I put on your desk an article from The Economist a few years ago that explains the nail households in China. If you Google nail households, you'll see some really strange things. Highways that split just to go around a house because the people in the house refuse to move. And so they go around them. Normally the way they take property in China is when people are gone, they just bulldoze them down. And if you look at the second page of this article, the very last paragraph, they have an ill-defined public interest criteria, which is very similar to the public purpose or public benefit that we're trying to get rid of. The reason I put this out here, we're addressing a universal, worldwide desire that people have that their property, particularly their homes, but that their property not be taken from them forcibly by an improper purpose. And I believe that if we put this before the people, we will have overwhelming support. We have it at a May primary referendum so that nobody thinks he or she will get an advantage in a November election. Secondly, this bill is after 26 years, hopefully finally coming to fruition. And from the beginning, it has always been bipartisan. I remember Senator Dan Blue, when he was a representative, was a primary sponsor. Representative Goodman is a sponsor this year. And one time we had 96 sponsors and to try to get the then speaker to bring the thing out. Now, why do we want to make the statutory changes in this bill? We could have constructed a constitutional amendment that would have taken two pages to completely explain all the nuances of it. But that's just not really appropriate for a constitution. Instead, by putting the statutory changes in the same piece of paper that you vote on, we are establishing irrevocably what the legislative intent is. Frankly, a lot of utility companies, cities and counties were very concerned with the original drafts of the constitutional amendment because they thought, incorrectly, but nevertheless they thought that it would stop the use of eminent domain for utilities. And it's not designed to do that at all. But what it is designed to do is to make sure we're talking about public use and not benefit purpose or public interest. Now, there have been hundreds of years of cases from the appellate courts that have discussed this, and frankly, they're conflicting, confusing, and some of them could be interpreted to mean that we are using the public benefit test. But about 80 or 90 years ago, when that phrase was first put into the statutes, public use or benefit, the benefit was used as an additional restriction on condemnation by eminent domain. It was not an alternate test. They didn't have proper grammar lessons from their English teachers. They thought the disjunctive and conjunctive were the same thing. But it, in more recent years, has morphed into people, some courts in North Carolina, thinking that a benefit would be enough. So this makes clear that it's just the public use. Then we modernize some of the language about utilities. For example, instead of telegraph and telephone, we use communication facilities. This, frankly, was at the request of a lot of the utilities. There was some discussion about the phrase distribution of natural gas being included in here. Representative McGrady and I have
tried to figure out why some people think this has something to do with fracking. It's our opinion it has nothing to do with fracking. This is the distribution of a utility, natural gas. And there had already been a Court of Appeals decision in 2011 that said the distribution of natural gas is proper for condemnation. Now, I need to make one clarification that Representative Mashal asked me to make, and I'm happy to do it, because in terminology, there's an ambiguity. The word condemnation is used in two completely different ways. This bill talks about condemnation by eminent domain. That is the power of the state, which has been in English law for 700 or 800 years, I think. Not doesn't go back to Magna Carta, Chuck. little more recent than that. But that's the taking by the government of property upon payment of compensation. There's another usage of the term condemnation, and that's under the police power. That is, if Representative Cleveland here, and I'll use him as an example because I've been to his lovely home and I know this is counterfactual, my explanation. But just suppose that all the building codes were violated in his house and it was an eyesore, and the inspectors came along and said, "You can't live here anymore, George. This is not safe." And they put up a condemnation sign, "Do not enter. You have to fix it or we're going to tear it down." That is not eminent domain. They give you an opportunity to fix it, usually. If you fix it, fine. If you don't, they can tear it down and charge the cost of tearing it down to you. It's a lien on the land, and you might lose your property because you don't pay the lien. That process would not be affected by this bill at all because that has nothing to do with eminent domain. I encourage you to vote for it. I'm very optimistic that this will come through to fruition after 26 years, and I really appreciate the hard work that Representative McGrady has put in on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Michaud, arise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on the bill.
That 26 years ago that Representative Stam referred to was probably when I was chair of Judiciary Committee and had the bill before us at that time, indicating that this question has been before this body and before this state for a long period of time. Condemnation, particularly of private property, has always been a problem. After the Kelo case had come out from Connecticut, it gave the states an opportunity at that point to make clarification. And after all of the legalese that you've heard on here, it's very simple. You cannot take something that has happened in the past. A lot of condemnations have resulted in the city or the utility or whatever taking private property under condemnation authority and then selling it back to a private developer. This has been a distinct problem in this state. This bill, in my estimation, clarifies that situation, that they cannot do that at this time. The other thing, if you really want to put it into perspective, it does not stop a city or county from declaring an area blighted. I asked Representative Stam to explain that to you simply because that is one of the fears that many cities and counties may have, is that they cannot go in and declare an area blighted and under the condemnation proceedings take that area. They still, under the other procedure, can do that and cause you, and then that property can be taken because you don't pay the lien as a result of what they have done on that. Now, but we just wanted to clear up the fact that you just can't go in and take property and then sell it to a private developer for a lesser price so that they can make a profit. We need this. We need this for clarification, and I hope that you will support it.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
To ask Representative Stam a question.
Representative Stam, do you Yield for a question?
I yield. Thank you, sir. For those folks like myself who might have a little bit of fear of ambiguity, never knowing how the courts are going to interpret something later on, what assurance do we have, as good as this is, and I do support the bill, but what assurance do we have that public use will be understood not to include taking property for the purpose of conveying to a third-party interest for economic development?
Representative Pittman, thank you for the question, and indeed in several past drafts of this bill and many other sessions that was specifically added in. It's not here because it's not necessary, because if it's for private development, by definition, it is not a public use. That is my position, the position of all the sponsors, which we here state on the record.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative McGrady, do you yield for a question?
I yield. Thank you, Representative. I have a few just for clarity's sake. Could a municipal or governing entity take a piece of property for public good to run a sewer line, let's say that was along a creek bed on the back of my property?
Yes.
Follow-up question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could a governing entity, municipality, county, state, take a piece of property, maybe run along a creek bed on the back of my property, to implement a walking trail, greenway, or something like?
Yes, probably. Greenway is typically viewed as a park, and a park is a public use, and potentially that's possible, yes.
Follow-up.
Further question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, Would it be available for a municipality or county government or state government to take a parcel of land to erect a utility, but inevitably take more than is actually needed for that utility, thereby having more than needed property that would be in turn sold back to another entity?
I can't really give you a yes or no to that, because I can think of two situations that would lead to different positions. A utility or a municipality could acquire property that it thought it needed for its public use, and it turned out to be more land than it needed. But at the point in time that it was acquiring it, you know, let's say the train station was going to have this footprint, and then they redesigned the train station and it got smaller. And so, yes, they could end up with additional property. But that situation is actually sort of what we're trying to avoid here. One of the things that has been suggested, you know, whether it's in relationship to an airport or a train facility, is that, well, you know, the municipality will obtain a large tract of land for airport purposes or for rail. And by the way, we're going to add a little more land so we can put in some nice restaurants and stores and other things. No, they're not in a position to acquire property for what now is not a public use. And so, again, I'm sorry to not be able to give you an answer, yes or no, but. And I suspect that if a municipality, you know, moved forward to condemn land truly for a public use, but under the guise of getting more land for non-public use, that would be challengeable in a court. I think a court would see right through that.
Final question, Mr. Speaker.
Yield for further question?
I do, Mr. Speaker.
Can a city, county, or state governing entity acquire a piece of property with the intent in the future to apply a utility or said, and if so, what is there a timeline for that future use? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, maybe I can refer that one to Representative Stamm.
Representative Stamm, do you yield to answer the question?
I would. The case I referred to earlier regarding distribution of natural gas, Town of Midland versus Morris, 2011,
specifically I think it's this case, maybe another case, specifically said it can be for a future use. But it has to be for a future use for the utility. It can't be a situation where they buy it for one purpose with the present intent to use it for something else.
For what purpose does the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Catlin, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask Representative Stamm a question.
Representative Stamm, do you yield?
I do.
Thank you. This is a clarification for public use and private benefit or benefit. If you are looking at properties that have limited public access, like state ports or an airport or a military base, would that still be considered public access for eminent domain acquisitions?
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, I'll give you an example. A cartway. Y'all know what a cartway is? An involuntary way of getting into property to harvest some timber. That's been justified by our Supreme Court upon payment of compensation, because theoretically the public can use that cartway even if it's just to a tract of land in the wood. It doesn't mean that every single member of the public can necessarily use it, but if public entities or public agencies or public ports can use it, certainly I would think that would be public use.
Follow up?
Yield for a follow-up question?
I do.
Just clarification. So the ports can use eminent domain. An airport can use it if they want to expand a runway, or the military can use it.
Yes. Now, let me just, for information, elaborate, give a nuance, because this bill is intended to affect a particular use that was used by an airport one time. Piedmont Triad Airport wanted to expand so that FedEx could have a particular location. And they essentially took private property so that FedEx could own land. But for the hub, the runways, the roads, yes, that's a public use.
One more follow-up, please.
Another follow-up?
I yield.
Who makes that decision?
Well, all cases like this, ultimately, would be decided by courts. This case, this bill gives tightened guidelines so that the courts are much more less likely to find public use than if we did not pass the bill.
Thank you.
For what purpose does a gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, arrive?
Mr. Speaker, could I ask Representative Stamm a question, please?
Representative Stamm, do you yield?
I yield.
Representative Stamm, I wanted to just inquire about the extent of the definition of the word taking, and in particular, what I would call, and may not be a legal term, but what I would call temporary taking, that would ultimately cause an adverse effect on the property. Would that be included in, would just compensation be allowed under this provision to allow for temporary taking? And if you want, I can give you an example.
Not just allowed, but required. Under our current law, temporary takings of land require just compensation, even as much as if it's permanent.
Thank you.
For what purpose is a gentleman from Richmond, Representative Goodman, arise?
To ask Representative McGrady a question.
Representative McGrady, do you yield?
Representative McGrady, in reference to the questions that Representative Torbett asked about the creek bank and the sewer line and the greenway, can't government entities do that under current law?
This amendment doesn't change that in any regard. We're not trying to change the law at all, and governments have the ability to condemn for public use, and all of those were public uses. And I might add, thank you for your co-sponsorship of the bill.
And one more question.
Follow up.
Does this bill in any way expand the government's ability to condemn property?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, arise?
Mr. Speaker.
For a question of Representative McGrady.
I yield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative McGrady, has there been any input from the local governments on this particular bill? And if so, could you enlighten us on what it might have been?
To my knowledge, neither the County Commissioners Association nor the League of Municipalities has formally taken a position on the bill. There are municipalities that are concerned that this in some way restricts them from things they would like to do. That may be possible if they were thinking about using eminent domain for economic development purposes. But to my knowledge, none of the associations and none of the municipalities or anything have come out in opposition of the bill.
For what purpose does a gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, arise?
Mr. Speaker, I know the bill sponsor will yield for a question.
Do you yield?
I yield.
Representative Brady, this is your bill, and I think it's a very good bill, and we have had a very lengthy discussion on it. And so could you do the appropriate thing at this time, please?
Since it's the first day of the session, and the first bill that we're taking up of a substantive nature, and because it's a constitutional amendment, which makes it more important, I'm not going to do that inappropriate thing at this time.
Representative Bumgardner, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I still have the same question. I'd like to ask Representative Stamm a question.
Representative Stamm, do you yield?
I yield.
I still have the same issue with this bill. I support this 100%, except it seems like on page 2, line 6, we're saying not less than 50 feet and not more than 100. We're saying if you're going to take somebody's property, you have to take 50 feet. And if we're going to take property, let's take as little as we need and for any liquid purpose. So if you want a sewer line across somebody else's property to get to another piece of property, you don't need 50 feet. 10 would be plenty, but I'm just other than that, I have no problem whatsoever with this bill.
Representative Bumgardner, that's in a part of the statute that is not changing. Why 50 feet was there, could have been for safety reasons, I don't know, but we were not trying to change the law in that section at all. And there'll be other bills later on condemnation to which an amendment might be appropriate if you contact the relevant utilities to see why that 50 foot was in there to start with.
Further questions, further debate? If not, the clerk will open the vote. The clerk will record the vote and close the machine. 106 in favor of the bill, 5 against the bill. The bill passes first reading.
Mr. Speaker.
Second reading and will be read a third time without objection. Objection being raised, the bill will be carried over.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recorded as voting yes.
The lady will be recorded as voting yes.
Mr. Speaker, I would also like to be recorded voting yes, Richardson.
The lady will be recorded as voting yes.
What purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recorded as voting yes, but the machine...
The lady will be recorded as having voted aye on the bill. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Johnson, rise?
To be recorded for voting yes.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye. Is that the same for Representative Graham? Is that
yes.
The same?
Yes,
the gentleman will also be recorded as having voted aye. For what purpose does the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I have a motion pertaining to the third reading of House Bill 3.
The gentleman is recognized for his motion and then to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that the third reading, which would normally be held at the next House session, which is February 9th, instead be held February 10th.
Without objection? So ordered. Members, for planning purposes, and glad Representative Lewis made that motion. The plan for Monday is that we will have a no recorded vote session. As you know, we changed our rules on the resolutions and have allowed those to be done by voice vote now. There will be a resolution heard honoring the Boy Scouts, and we have a number of Boy Scouts here. I know Representative Jones is very active and involved in this process. The session will be at 4:00 on Monday. So if you can't be here then and you're worried about missing a recorded vote, you don't have to worry about that. There will be no recorded votes. We did try to see about moving it to a day later in the week, but the logistics just wouldn't allow that to happen. So just wanted to make sure folks understood that session on Monday will be at 4:00, but again, it's not a recorded vote. But if you can be here and you are here, the chair would certainly encourage you to be present for that session. Members, we had our pages with us this week. I would ask the pages to please come forward. Pages, on behalf of all of the members of the House, we want to thank you all for being here this week. This is the beginning of session, so there's not as much activity as there is probably in a few weeks, but you've actually had the chance to observe a lot of operations and probably had a little time, hopefully, to have had a good time while you're here this week. We certainly hope so. And I certainly want to thank you for taking time away from your families and from school to be here. Members, if you would, please join me in thanking our pages this week. You all may return to your post for what is hopefully going to be a very brief remainder of the session today. Members, for the record, the recorded vote, which was previously done on House Bill 3, the question was put before the second reading for the purpose of the journal. And that vote was, I believe, what was the total of the vote, Madam Clerk, after the changes? I'll let the clerk finish her math over there, and then we'll announce that for the record. Notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Ford, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor to speak for a moment of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On this day in 1885, General Johnston Jones introduced a bill before North Carolina's legislature that provided a new model for the state flag as we see it today. May 20th, 1775, one of the dates on the flag, the MECDAC. The other is April 12th, 1776, and when North Carolina authorized delegates to the Continental Congress to vote for their independence from England, the Halifax Resolves. So today is the day that the bill was introduced in 1885 that gives us our current state flags. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
A point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor for a moment of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I wanted to thank everyone that participated in the Sportsman's Caucus reception and breakfast we had yesterday. I do not know who won the shootout on the lawn, so I'm going to go ahead and claim victory for the House. Since the Senate delayed in getting us an answer. But I want to thank you for participating in that. It's still not too late to join the Sportsman's Caucus, and I look forward to participating with you in that throughout the year. Thank you.
Members, the vote on House Bill 3 with the adjustments on second reading was 111 in the affirmative and 4 in the negative. Clerk will note that on the minutes. Further notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hall, rise?
For an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Due to the change in the time in Monday's session, Democratic Caucus will not caucus on Monday, hour before session as normally done, so we will not be caucusing Monday. Thank you very much.
For what purpose does the other gentleman from Durham, Representative Lubke, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
The gentleman may state his inquiry.
Mr. Speaker, I'm interested in the schedule for the House Finance Committee next week, and I wonder to which of the chairs should I address my question.
I would defer to either Representative Sain or Representative Brawley, whichever one of them would, whichever one's quicker on their button. If the gentleman would like to direct his question to Representative Brawley, I'm just going to call him Representative Brawley. If the chair would like to direct his question to Representative Brawley, I think he'll yield.
I do yield.
He yields.
Representative Brawley, can you tell us when the first meeting of the Finance Committee will be next week?
Sir, it has not yet been set. As you are aware, the committee staff was not named as of yesterday, so we have not been able to meet with the appropriate staff for the introductory sessions to educate the new members as to the duties, responsibilities, and scope for the Committee on Finance. That will be done as expeditiously as possible. I, like you, look forward to the exchange of ideas that we always enjoy on Tuesday mornings.
Yes, sir. Agree with that. I have a follow-up then. Do you expect...
I yield. Gentlemen, yield to an additional question.
I do.
He yields.
Do you expect there will not be any Finance Committee meetings to take up bills next week?
We do not expect to take up bills next week at this time. But I'm not aware of a bill that we may have to take up next week. That does not mean there will not be one. But at this time, I'm aware of none we will need to take up next week.
Representative Lubke, there is a possibility that an economic development bill may be sourced through the Finance Committee next week. It's still being drafted. We're still consulting with a number of folks on that. But we frankly haven't determined. It's just a matter of trying to see where everybody is on it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Further notices and announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Monday, February 9th at 4 o'clock p.m.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Setzer, that the House adjourn to reconvene Monday, February 9th, 2015 at 4 o'clock p.m. Those in favor will say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.